Blog Talk Radio.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality. But there is, unperceived by most, another world. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
Hey, who was that creepy voice? Good evening, welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and we're accompanied by the goat.
The goat.
At least just for the moment. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knows? Gar may pop in, CW. Hey, good old Bob, if you're not doing anything.
Call in.
Give us a jingle at, what is the number, 646-378-0264. Hey, I almost feel like we're doing radio. A whole lot of radio, actually, we are.
Whole lot of radio for our 90 minutes. Got a full 60 minutes of shows. Deal with that and some other silly stuff. Perhaps like even not one, not two, but 12 music facts, Dave facts.
Yay! Alrighty. Good. Love them facts. Love them facts. Good stuff. Yeah, we're doing musical murders tonight, hence the need for Music Facts, Day Facts. Musical Murder Weekend. And speaking of music, by the way, guess who's coming back to visit us soon? Rock and Roll Casey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Pretty sure he's going to be stopping by again. God bless him. Love that tune that he had, and who knows, maybe we'll throw that out there again. We should. It's a good tune.
Yeah,
captures,
it is a good tune.
Captures, like, Dave and I in spirit for sure.
Yeah, anybody who grew up in Northeast Ohio, all the different horror hosts and such, he wrote a song. So apparently he's from originally Northeast. He's out in California now, I believe, but he was originally from Northeast Ohio. Had to be.
Sure, and movie hosts in general, when you consider, remember the Prize movie with John Lanagoon?
Yeah, Lanigan.
Yeah, Lanagoon.
Lanigan.
Yeah,
along with Lanigan in the morning.
Yeah.
I tell you what, John Lanigan was brilliant. When he came to Cleveland, working his way up, he did a brilliant thing. He would start a topic for the day, and all morning long, people would call in and give a joke on that topic. And then as he was turning the show over to Joe Mayer, he would rattle off 10 minutes of these jokes and everyone else called in, have Joe Mayer on the floor, hardly being able to breathe. But he had his audience write him the day's material.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. Oh. And it was great.
Oh. Wait, Dave, someone's at the door. Come in.
Bang,
knocking
on
bang.
The door.
It's
knock,
open.
Knock.
Yes, here.
Yes, with solicitations and salutations. This is your rockin' roadie, CW, ready to listen to some maniacal music.
That we got.
Yeah, that's
for
a good
you.
Way to put it. As of all the promos we didn't once call it maniacal music.
Next
good
time.
Catch there.
We're stealing that if you don't mind, CW.
We'll
oh,
if you
feel
do
free.
Mind.
Sleep away. I'm thoroughly, I have great legal counsel in Moose and Elk.
You're well represented.
Yeah, I know. Because if they don't win, they break your kneecaps. So, you know, I don't like to go against them.
Who does?
I don't know. We might need them. We got Sherlock Holmes and the Whistler tonight.
Oh, Elementary.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
And, of course, you weren't here for the load-up, but we do have some music facts, Dave facts tonight. So,
yay!
Hold on to your hold on to your horses.
Outstanding! Outstanding!
There we go.
There we go.
Hold
I better,
on
load. I better load up on sound bites.
But
better load up on sound bites. But yeah, we got two twisted tales.
Two twisted tales.
We might as well start with Sherlock Holmes. And it, yes, CW, it is Basil. But Dave pointed out something curiously. No Nigel Bruce.
Yeah, and that's very unusual because Nigel Bruce went on for another at least a year on the radio series without once Basil Rathbone was done playing Sherlock Holmes in the movies, he was done with the radio show as well. He never signed that contract. And so Nigel Bruce was contractually obligated. He went on for at least another year with the show. And Tom Conway filled in for him, I believe. But,
yes.
But this is one of the very few that about Basil Rathbone did that Nigel Bruce did not. He must have been ill or something.
My favorite Dr. Watson. My favorite Dr. Watson is Nigel Bruce.
I have to admit, I'm very, very partial to him. Very partial indeed.
I do like him better on the radio because in the movies, except for the first one, which was Hound of the Baskervilles, they made him a complete...
James Mason as Dr. Watson in the late Christopher Plummer's version of Holmes, Murder by Degree.
Ah, yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah. But, he was made to be out an idiot in the movies, Nigel Bruce and Watson. But he was a military doctor. He was not an idiot. And he's not quite as dumb in the radio shows as he is in the movie. In movies, he was just used more as comic relief than as the character.
A bumbling oaf. I love him as that, though. I love him that way.
But what I really liked is when they have them as intelligent, like when the Cumberbatch Sherlock episodes. And the other guy who played Watson was a military doctor.
Doc,
I thought I loved his portrayal of Watson. Watson was not an idiot. He wasn't a moron. He wasn't a boob.
Disappointing. That's all right. Let's see how they're portrayed today in Murder at the Opera. Our first story tonight.
Yes. Okay. It was odd because even on the download it says Basil Rathbone and Bruce. And it's not Bruce. If it's Bruce, man, he had something wrong with his voice that day. This is from February 25th of 1946.
Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and the New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to Dr. Watson tell us another exciting adventure he shared with his good friend, that master detective, Sherlock Holmes. And as for me, well, I'd like to ask you if you know that one of the favorite wines of American women is Petri California Muscatel. In fact, the whole family likes Petri Muscatel. And you'll certainly know why if you'll just pour yourself a glass. Why, that Petri Muscatel is wonderful just to look at. It's the color of sheer gold. And raise that glass of Petri Muscatel to your lips. Oh, boy, what a wine. Look, did you ever walk through a vineyard early in the morning? You know, when the dew is still clinging to the grapes. And did you taste one of those luscious, plump muscat grapes? Then you'll know what to expect the first time you taste Petri Muscatel. Petri Muscatel brings you that same wonderful muscat flavor right from the heart of the grape. Try serving Petri Muscatel after dinner by itself or with fruit or nuts. It's the perfect after-dinner wine. and serve it proudly because five letters, P-E-T-R-I, spell the proudest name in the history of American wine. And now I'm sure our good friend Dr. Watson is ready for us. Let's go in and join him.
Come in, come in. Oh, there you are, Mr. Bartell.
Good evening, Doctor. Are you all ready with tonight's new Sherlock Holmes adventure?
I'm ready if you are, my boy. How would you like to hear a story that took place in Italy?
In Italy? Say, you and the great Sherlock Holmes certainly did get around. What took you there, Doctor?
We'd gone to Rome to investigate the sudden death of Cardinal Tosca. An inquiry, which I may tell you, Mr. Bartell, was carried out by Holmes at the express desire of His Holiness the Pope.
Well, say, Doctor, that sounds like a wonderful...
No, Mr. Bartell, that's a story that I'm afraid I can never tell you. However, tonight's adventure took place a few days after Holmes had brought his case to a satisfactory, though somewhat terrifying, conclusion. I suggested to the great man that a short holiday would be good for us before returning to England. And so we spent some happy days browsing among the architectural treasures of old Rome, the Colosseum, the Baths of Caracalla, the Forum, the wonderful ruins on the Palatine Hill. I couldn't drag Holmes away from them, Mr. Bartell. And at nighttime, he was able to indulge to his heart's content his great love of music. Finally, it was two nights before we were to sail for England, I remember. We went to the opera house to hear the famous Italian soprano Gina Valchese singing Verdi's immortal La Traviata. I can hear that exquisite voice now, Mr. Bartell, as Holmes and I, seated in a box, listen spellbound to the great Valchese singing her last act aria.
What a magnificent voice.
Yes, it is, Holmes. A pity, though, that most opera stars who sing like nightingales seem to have the figures of unusually well-fed pouter pigeons. Poor woman, she must weigh at least 20 stone.
Nevertheless, you mustn't refer to her as poor, my dear chap. Despite her somewhat unfortunate proportions, Signora Gilda Valchese remains one of the greatest and wealthiest of contemporary sopranos.
Listen to the applause.
Yes, undoubtedly she'll sing an encore. We might as well go back to her dressing room now. The opera's almost over.
Why are we going back to her dressing room?
Because during the last intermission, I received a note from her requesting my attendance.
Oh, what did the note say?
Well, it seems that the lady is not too popular with certain members of the opera company. Well, I've no wish to become entangled in any opera clash temperaments. I confess I find myself not a little interested in meeting the lady. She's going to sing an encore.
Going back to her dressing room.
Certainly, my dear fellow. A summons from Gina Valchese is no more to be disobeyed than a royal command.
I must ask you, gentlemen, not to stand outside La Valchese's dressing room. We permit no strangers, particularly foreigners.
But the Signora has requested our presence. may I ask who you are?
Permit me to introduce myself, gentlemen. I am Armando Bellini, Inspector of Police.
And my name is Holmes, Sherlock Holmes, and this is my friend, Dr. Watson.
Sherlock Holmes? But this is a great honor. Allow me to apologize. Here in the opera house, we have to be so careful, you understand, of intrigues. There are so many. But, Senor Holmes and his friend, I am so happy to meet you both. At headquarters, I hear wonderful reports of your work in the Cardinal Tosca affair.
I should prefer not to mention that unfortunate matter, Inspector, except under conditions of extreme privacy.
Oh, quite so. And behind the scenes at the opera is not the most secluded place. Please to forgive me. You are waiting to see La Valchese?
Yes.
She is still on the stage. She has requested your presence, you say, Signor Holmes?
Yes, I trust the meeting is to be a social, not a professional one. We're sailing for England in a couple of days.
And you came to hear the great Varchese singer before you left. Most understandable.
A magnificent voice, Inspector.
Yes, Doctor. And still, well, I am a devout opera lover myself. Yet I cannot help but feel its a future lies with those who can add a youth and beauty to a great voice.
Ah, that's true. True, Signor. But where can you find such a combination?
I have found it. Here in the opera, there is a girl. She is my protege. Someday, I hope she will be my wife. At the moment, she is only understudying La Varchese. If she should ever get the opportunity of singing in her place, then a new star will be born.
Oh, really? What's her name?
Lisa Bordoni. She has but recently come to Rome from Milano, where she was studied with the great Alfieri. Confidentially, I think that La Varchese is so jealous of her that... here is Lisa now. And that is her brother with her. Lisa, cara mia, please to join us.
By George, what a beautiful girl.
What is it, Armando?
Permit me to present the famous English detective, Signor Sherlock Holmes, and his friend, Dr. Watson.
How do you do?
How do you do, young lady?
Glad to meet you both. This is my brother, Wally.
How do you do?
I certainly feel that I know a lot about you two gentlemen. No, I can't tell you how many times I've read your stories, Dr. Watson.
Indeed, sir. I'm very flattered. Lisa, cara mia, we were just saying that in youth and beauty, combined with the voice, lies our future hope in the opera. Your day will come, Lisa mia. Your day will come soon.
I hope you're right, Armando. But as long as I understudy Gina Valchese, I don't see when I'll get my chance. She's disgustingly healthy.
If you'll pardon my saying so, young lady, though your name is Bordoni, you and your brother don't sound in the least Italian.
Well, we're not, Mr. Holmes. We're American. But to succeed in Italian opera, my sister has found that an Italian name is essential. So the Borden family became the Bordonis.
In any case, my real name is Lizzie Borden. I'm sure you, Mr. Holmes, as a famous detective, will see that I had to change my name.
Yes, I can well understand.
Who was Lizzie Borden?
Well, my dear fellow, one of the greatest and most successful of murderesses, who wielded an axe with incredible dexterity. I've often regretted that I was in Tibet instead of America at the time of that particular case.
Signor Holmes, I do not understand you Anglo-Saxons. To me, a murderess is a murderess. Now, when you speak of a greatness in women, I feel... but here comes Gina Valchese now. I will introduce you.
How many times must I tell you will allow no one to stand outside my dressing room? Send them away. La Valchese is tired.
But you wish to see Signor Sherlock Holmes, the famous detective. He has come here in answer to your request. Please, permit me to present him, and also his friend, Dr. Watson.
How do you do, Signor?
I'm greatly honored to meet you, Signor Valchese. And now, perhaps, if we may come into your dressing room and confer privately.
Certo. What would La Varchese have to say to a detective? A minion of the police, a zero. Go away, all of you.
Well, what do you think of that? She slammed the door in my face. Waiter.
Signor.
Bring me some more coffee, please.
Signor.
The very pleasant dining here on the hotel terrace, I must confess.
Very. Amazingly warm, considering yesterday's snow.
Yes, it is. Later I suggest we pay another visit to the opera and hear about Casey's thing, Gilda and Rigoletto.
Upon my soul, Holmes, it seems to me that you're astonishingly casual after the way that woman insulted you last night, slamming the door in your face as if you were a tradesman shopping.
What would you have me do, my dear chap? Force my way into a room, demand an apology, or have my friend challenge her to a duel in order to avenge my honor?
Oh, don't try to be funny, Holmes. You know perfectly well what I mean. The lady asks you to come and see her, and when you do, she pretends she's never heard of you. And here it is nearly 24 hours later, and you've done absolutely nothing about it.
Dear old Watson, you're really quite upset over the affair, aren't you? Well, if it'll make you any happier, let me tell you, I have done something about it.
I'm delighted to hear it. What?
This morning, I was able to obtain a specimen of La Valchese's handwriting from an autographed picture in the possession of Inspector Bellini. I compared the writing with that on the note and that I received in the box last night. It was the same. proving that the message I received was authentic.
Oh, in that case, why did she snub you like that?
Well, something was to frighten her, I suppose. Something or someone who was standing at the dressing room door with us.
Well, who was there? Inspector Bellini, Lisa Bordoni, and her brother.
Precisely, my dear fellow. Therefore, we may assume that La Valchese had no wish to recognize me in their presence.
But if you think that, Holmes, why haven't you been in touch with her today? She may be in some dreadful danger.
Oh, if she is, she can find me easily enough. And meanwhile, I'm perfectly happy to be left alone. The last few weeks have been sufficiently strenuous without becoming involved in some fresh case.
On my soul, Holmes, you must be tired. I've never known you to be so indifferent to a case. Great Scott.
What is it, Watson?
Look, walking towards us, it's Signora Valchese herself.
Oh, and judging from the lady's expression, she seems to be in some distress. Good evening, Signora.
Signora, I must speak
Please
to you.
Please sit down, won't you? This is my colleague, Dr. Watson.
How do you do?
I must apologize for my behavior last night. It would have been dangerous if La Valchese had acknowledged that she had to communicate with you.
That's just what my friend assumed,
now,
madam.
Please speak quite freely now, Signora. No one can overhear us.
Signoron, I am being persecuted. My life is in danger. You must save me.
You've been threatened.
Si, Signor. And now today, tragedy has struck. My sister, my beloved Bella, lies near death from a murderous attack. An attack that was meant for me.
Good Lord, what happened, madam?
If you will please to keep it quiet, and little Albert Casey speak, will I learn what happened.
Oh, I'm so sorry, madam.
This morning, I always myself take my dog for a walk. But this morning, I feel the trace of a cold. I asked my sister to take the dog for a walk. Please do understand that my sister is very much like me in appearance.
Yes, I understand, Signora. Please continue.
She walk alone in the park, from nowhere. A horseman come gallop and ride her down. This much I learned from the traces in the snow when I worry and go to find her.
Was she able to tell you who the horseman was?
No, she cannot speak, Signor. They say at the hospital that her skull is a fracture, that she may not live. Signor Holmes, that attack, it was meant for me. You must protect me.
Signora, I shall do everything in my power to...
No!
What's wrong, madam?
Somewhere there is a cat. I know it. Make it go away. I cannot stand guns. They drive me mad. No. Oh, make it go away, please. I cannot send them without even a signal.
I can't see one.
It must be your imagination.
I am sorry to make such a scene, but I cannot bear to be near a cat. I cannot tell you what it do to me. It may sound a foolish weakness.
No, not at all, Signora. Such a condition is quite common. In fact, I believe medical science has given it a name. It's known as allurophobia.
Oh, whatever it is called. It makes me ill. I must go to my room. I cannot stand much more. My poor sister.
I imagine with your sister at death's door, Signora, you will not sing tonight.
Signoron, I love her very much. But even a sister is only a sister. My art is my life. In an hour, Signor, I sing Gilda in a Rigoletto. You will attend the performance. And afterward, you will tell La Valchese how she may trap this devil who seeks to destroy her.
Spicy meatball right there. Part one of Sherlock Holmes' Murder at the Opera. I kept thinking about the Three Stooges when that opera was going.
Oh, my dear, the voice of spring.
I think that was made with both Curly and with Shump. They remade it with Shump.
Probably. Yeah.
As I recall. Where they lip sync to the
didn't have money for scripts, so they just redid it. Yeah.
Yep.
They did several like that with Shump.
Yeah.
They had some pie fights that didn't even have Shump in it. That they just used recycled from old shows.
Yay for recycling.
Yay. See that? The Three Stooges were eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly.
Way before the term came. That's why There's three Sturges. Totally educational, everyone. Totally educational.
Yes.
Yeah, my mother wasn't crazy about them, but
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, my folks weren't too fond of what I learned either. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yep.
Yeah. But we knew it wasn't real. That's the thing. You know, one thing I always had to impress upon my boys when they were growing
what?
Up is say I would tell them it's not real, it's just television. It's
Dave,
not real,
it.
It's just television.
Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, come on. You mean there's not a family that's lost in space? They're not.
Well, that was
some
people. That was real.
Well, that was real.
Yeah.
People stuck on an island after a 3-hour tour.
You,
oh my God!
Can't,
the
can't lie
very
about
real.
Every, can't
was
lie about
real.
Everything.
Yeah.
Amazing how they came with one trunk of clothes and they could wear that for 5 years. You know.
Well, that was the Howells. I think they had most of the clothes. And what's her name? Ginger.
Ginger?
Good old what's her
name? Ginger.
Good old what's her name?
The star.
What's her name? The movie star, that is.
Yeah, she took that role too seriously.
Well, she thought it was about her.
Yeah.
And finally, it got into the season when they were arguing over the script or something. Somebody said, you realize the show is called Gilligan's Island, right?
Yeah.
I think her agent must have tricked her or something just to get their commission. I can foresee that. That's the only way I can think.
Could very well be. I mean, Mrs. Howell only did it because she thought she was going to get I'm getting a free trip to Hawaii for the pilot. This show will never go. Jim Backus was just trying to make everything be funny.
Oh,
you know?
It's a hit.
Nobody was more surprised than Natalie when the show was picked up, I think.
It's kind of funny.
And when she was doing all that leaping and jumping around, she hid her age. I believe
nobody knew.
In her 60s. Her mid-60s.
Yeah, at least mid-60s. Yeah.
Hey, she did good. She done good.
Very good indeed.
It wouldn't have been the same without Natalie Schaefer.
No, because I guess Jim Backus worked with her independently to help her so that they could do their stuff. Because their stuff that they did, part of it was written, part of it was stuff they just kind of grumbled along with, you know, as he did like the goo type things, you know?
Yeah.
Anyone a fan of opera who has ever been to the opera? Not including the Marx Brothers. We've all been to a night at the opera with the Marx Brothers.
Yes.
Tony Randall was a big fan of the opera, but I didn't know Tony Randall.
No.
Neither did I. Never had the pleasure meeting Mr. Randall. Yes, but he was a true aficionado, a devotee, a maven of the art. He tried to even get the something called the American theater going, since so many European countries and Asian countries all over the world have their own national theater. The U.S. really doesn't have a national theater per se. They just have theaters all over the place. Yeah.
Right.
Well, they should go
all
get one.
All doing their own thing. Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, you've got those famous venues, the Theater of Akron, the Theater of Boise, the Theater of Oxnard.
Oxnard. Oxnard.
Watch out. I don't know where that bird is.
Yeah. Oxnard the Raven. That's a Cleveland thing.
Yep. Yeah, and he called it Oxnard. Gullardi called the bird Oxnard because he went out to California to shoot an episode of Gunsmoke. A lot of CBS networks were bringing in local CBS station people to be in some episodes. And while he was there, he's driving through this town of Oxnard. He just laughs at that. It's the dumbest name I've ever heard in my life for a town. So he came back and he named the bird Oxnard. Yeah.
that poor bird.
That was Goulardi for you, though. That was his way. He was a guru. He was a rebel. He was an interesting character. Part of Cleveland legendary. And
yep.
We've got some radio and Sherlock Holmes legendary with Boswell.
And we're going to come back after wrapping this up. We'll have our first segment of Music Facts, Dave Facts. Woohoo!
Oh, boy, oh, boy, boy. It's right after this.
Holmes, it's after 9:30. We've missed quite a lot of the opera. Hardly worth going to our box now.
Just be in time to hear La Valchesia sing the incomparable Caronomi. Come on, old fella. Let's slip in as quietly as we can.
Seems to me we should have been in our box from the beginning of the performance. She asked you to keep an eye on her, you know.
That's true, old chap. But it occurred to me that an attack on her during the performance was unlikely and that our time might be more profitably spent making inquiries at the Riding Academy.
You drew a blank. We found no trace of that mysterious rider.
No, but at least we tried. Here we are. Let's stand at the back of the theater for a few minutes.
Great Scott! That isn't our case of singing. It's the understudy, the lady's protege, the American girl, Lisa Bordoni.
What a beautiful voice.
Nice one, but with a beautiful, wonderful range. Look here, we've no time to listen to her now. We must go to the Valchese's dressing room at once. We know she left the theater tonight with the intention of singing. I'm very much afraid there's devil's work afoot, Watson. Listen. There are cats inside our dressing room. Come on, Watson. Locked. Put your shoulder to it. Come on, help me. What? Come on. Once more. Come on, again. Now, Watson, here. Thanks, Scott. She's unconscious, Watson. See what you can do for her. She must have fainted the fight. Yes, some fiend, knowing her deadly fear of cats, has locked her in here with half a dozen of them. Shoo, shoo. Her eyes are opening, Holmes. She's coming too.
Signora Valchese.
Her lips are moving. She's trying to speak.
Signora Valchese, tell me, who did this to you? Great heavens! Her voice is gone. I've known many vicious crimes in my lifetime, Watson. But to murder a voice that was one of the treasures of the world, is as vile a killing as I've ever encountered.
Dr. Watson will tell you the rest of his story in just a few seconds. And right now would be a wonderful time to try a glass of Petri California Port. In the evening after dinner, well, any time you're taking things easy, is the perfect time for Petri Port. Petri Port is a rich red wine, the kind of wine you like to sip slowly, so you won't miss a drop of its truly fine flavor. I'm not kidding when I say you owe it to yourself and your family to try Petri Port. In fact, you should try Petri Port and Petri Muscatel. So don't buy one, buy two. Buy both Port and Muscatel. Just be sure you get Petri, because Petri wine is always good wine. Well, Dr. Watson, so the great opera singer lost her voice when someone locked in a room full of cats, huh? What did you and Sherlock Holmes do?
We took Signor Valchese back to her hotel at once and saw that she was properly taken care of.
How did the understudy, Lisa Bordoni, make out, Doctor?
Well, the tragedy that overtook La Valchese gave her great chance. She received a tremendous ovation at the close of the performance, and it seemed certain that another star had been born. But let me tell you the story just as it happened, Mr. Bartell. A little later that night, Holmes and I were once again standing on the balcony of our hotel, watching a crowd of people that had assembled in the courtyard.
See that crowd, Watson?
Yes, I suppose they've come here to acclaim the new star.
No, my dear fellow. That crowd isn't planning a celebration. Look at them and listen to their angry murmuring. I'm afraid there's going to be trouble. I don't like the look of it.
Hello. Here comes Lisa Bordoni's brother, Wally.
What's wrong, sir?
Mr. Holmes. Mr. Holmes, you've got to do something.
What's happened?
Well, somehow the story about the cats in Lavelle Casey's dressing room has spread. The crowd outside are saying that my sister, Lisa, planned the whole thing so that she could sing Val Casey's part in the opera tonight.
Where's your sister now?
In a room at the hotel here. I managed to get her away from the crowd, and I locked her in. But that mob, I'm frightened for.
Ah, here comes the official representative of Law and Order, Inspector Bellini.
Wally, where is Lisa?
I was just telling Mr. Holmes that I'd locked her in a room.
Now, that crowd's in a dangerous mood, Bellini. What precautions are you taking?
I have thrown a cordon of police around the hotel. The mob is getting out of our hand, and Lisa must be protected. As a matter of fact, the situation is even worse than the crowd knows. I have just been told that Lavalcese's twin sister Bella died in the hospital tonight. That adds a murder charge. If the crowd knew about that, I tremble to think what might happen.
Did you say that Lavalcese's sister was a twin, Inspector?
Si, Senor Holmes. She was her exact double in everything but voice.
Indeed, how very illuminating. If you don't mind, I should like to have a few words in private with my friend, Dr. Watson. Excuse us for a moment, please.
What do you make of it, Holmes?
What are you, old chap?
Well, the American girl seemed very charming and all that, but she might have done it. It had to be either her, her brother, or the inspector himself. They all had a motive for wanting La Valchese to lose her voice. But I must say I can't understand the motive behind the murder of her twin sister.
I think I can give you the answer to that question in a very few minutes. But meanwhile, the mob gets uglier and uglier. The only way to avert violence, Watson, is to give them quick proof and a certainty of conviction. I must go back to Bellini and the young American. I want to keep an eye on them. Meanwhile, I want you to slip out and get me a cat.
Cat? What for?
You'll find out soon enough.
But Holmes, what kind of a cat?
Oh, any kind, but hurry.
Kitty, there's a good kitty.
Here. What you do in a hotel kitchen, senor? Oh, you want to play with my cat?
Oh, is he your cat? Charming little fellow. I'd like to borrow him for a little while.
Why you want to borrow my cat?
Oh, I thought I'd take him up to my hotel room and have a little game with him. I've got some old socks he can play with.
Deal. The English, they are a crazy race. My cat does not like to play with the old socks.
Look here. Here's 50 lira for you.
Oh, no. I tell you, my cat does not like to play with old socks. My cat will stay here, and you can keep your money.
I'll give you 100 lira.
So that you may stuff my cat full of old socks? No. Give me back my cat.
Oh, the place is with you. You'll get it back,
Mr. Stop him. The crazy Englishman is stealing my cat.
Got a cat for you, Holmes, but I wish you'd tell me what we're doing outside Valcase's door with it.
I'm going to try an experiment. We open her bedroom door softly, so. Slip the cat in, so. And close the door.
Holmes, man, what the blazes you think you're doing? You'll drive her mad.
I think not. Listen, and watch through the keyhole if you can.
Holmes, her voice. It's come back.
Yes, I thought it might.
I can see her through the keyhole. She's picking the cat up by the scruff of its neck. She's walking toward the balcony.
Yes, and towards the crowds down below. An excellent opportunity for a public confession. Come on. Bella?
What do you want?
I charge you with the murder of your sister, the great singer, Valchese.
It was a magnificent, Senor Holmes. A magnificent. The way you forced her to confess on the balcony in a full sight of the mob.
And so you saved Lisa. I can't thank you enough, Mr. Holmes.
Nor can I. Though I still don't see how you guessed.
She looked so much like her sister that she fooled even me, her understudy.
Yes, it was an extremely cunning plot, Miss Bordone. The real Marchese sent me that note last night. When I met her at the dressing room door, she denied having sent for me because the three of you were there.
I suppose she suspects one of us.
Oh, yes, obviously. And later, no doubt, she told her twin sister Bella about having sent me the message and also announced her intention of coming to see me. Bella saw her opportunity, murdered La Marchese, assumed her identity, and to give added realism to her role, followed through with her sister's plan by coming to see me today.
But I still don't understand this business, Mr. Holmes. Why did the twin sister lock herself in her dressing room and fill it with cats? What did it accomplish?
It gave me the chance to see him.
Yes, that's true. Which is why Watson felt certain the criminal must be you, your brother, or Signor Bellini. But you see, the episode with the cats accomplished one other thing. It made it plausible that the great Valchese should never sing again. To whose advantage would that be? An imposter, of course.
In the person of a twin sister who could not sing and who must surely envy her sister's great will.
Exactly, my dear fellow. As soon as I knew they were twin sisters in everything but voice, it became more than a possibility. It became probability, but it had to be tested. That's why I sent for the cat, Watson. When the sister, thinking herself unobserved, exhibited no terror for cats, well, it became a certainty.
For my soul, Holmes, this is as fantastic a plot as ever we've met.
A diabolical plan, Watson. And I'm only thankful, Miss Bordone, that we were able to expose it before the crowd reached you tonight.
I don't know what I can ever do to repay you, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, that won't be hard, my dear. A box at Covent Garden for your London debut would be, well, an ample repayment. And from what I hear of your reception in Rigoletto tonight, I shan't have to wait very long for that reward, eh?
It's a promise, Mr.
Thank
Holmes.
You. Come in.
Oh, excuse me, please. All over the hotel, I'm looking for my cat. I say to myself, there he is. He's stealing my cat. Inspector Bellino, you arrest him. He tried to bribe me, and then he ran away with my cat and filled him full of old English songs. Oh, does he really?
Doctor, I'd sure like to have a picture of you running away with that fellow's cat under your arm. You, a cat stealer.
It's not a bit funny, Mr. Bartell. Believe me, it was most embarrassing.
I know. But it was all for a good cause, and I think you were splendid about the whole thing. Incidentally, how'd you happen to look for a cat in a hotel kitchen?
Oh, there's usually one around the back door of a kitchen. Haven't you ever wandered, backstage in a hotel? Fascinating.
Oh, of course I have, but I've never been in a hotel kitchen.
Then where were you?
In the wine cellar.
I should have known.
Yes, Doctor, I like to look at bottles of Petri wine because when I see a Petri wine, I know I'm looking at a good wine. And Petri wine is good because of the Petri family. The Petri family first started making fine wine before the beginning of this century, generations ago. Since then, winemaking has been their heritage, handed on down from father to son. So you can take it for granted that the Petri family really knows how to turn luscious, sun-ripened grapes into clear, fragrant, delicious wine. And you can take it for granted, too, that the name Petri on a bottle of wine is more than a trademark. It's the personal assurance of the Petri family that every drop of wine in that bottle is good wine. You just can't go wrong with Petri wine because Petri took time to bring you good wine. Well, Dr. Watson, what story are you planning to tell us next week?
Next week, Mr. Bartell, I'm going to tell you a strange adventure that Holmes and I had many, many years ago. It concerns a young girl, the mutilation of her doll, and the tragedy that overtook a certain wise woman from the mountains.
Tonight's Sherlock Holmes adventure was written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher and was suggested by an incident in the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story, The Adventure of Black Peter. Music is by Dean Fossler. Mr. Rathbone appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And tonight, Dr. Watson was played by Mr. Eric Snowden, who substituted for Mr. Nigel Bruce. Mr. Bruce is scheduled to return to the program next week. The Petri Wine Company of San Francisco, California invites you to tune in again next week, same time, same station. Sherlock Holmes comes to you from our Hollywood studio. This is Harry Bartell saying goodnight for the Petri family.
Night.
Harvey.
For a solid hour of exciting mystery dramas, listen every Monday on most of these same stations at 8 o'clock to Michael Shane, followed immediately by Sherlock Holmes. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Good night, Harvey.
Don't have a moral for that one, but if I did, it would be bring back Bruce.
That's
right. Bring back Bruce.
I did not care for that guy.
Sounded like Bruce was coming back, so
yeah.
Thankfully,
I think he was
the
just
next
Ill.
Episode had Mr. Nigel. Yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
Bye.
Well, it is indeed that time. Once again, as we
uh-oh.
Do all kinds of research we made up for...
Made up.
Music Facts, Dave Facts. Do we get a fanfare for this? I knew you'd be there. Music fact. In 2008, research undertaken in France led to the discovery that when loud music was played in bars, alcohol consumption increased. Day fact. I'll drink to that, but then I'll drink to anything. Music fact. Strangely, musicians appear to live shorter lives than most people on the average. Day fact. That's why I only carry a tune in a bucket and a living will in my pocket. Music fact. Finland is also notable for having more metal bands per capita than any other country. Dave fact. Yeah. Big deal. Buffalo, New York has more heavy metal trash can lids per capita, and you don't hear them bragging about that. Music fact. To finish off with. A study in 2001 by the University of Leicester. It revealed that cows became more relaxed when they listened to slow music and produced 3% more milk.
Ooh.
Ooh. Dave fact. I don't know how to answer this without milking it out, but by coincidence, I drink 3% more milk when I listen to music. So there's no gain there. Music fact. Dave fact.
Righty then.
Got a couple of doozies coming up down the road here. Look out.
Oh, he's just warming up, folks. Dave is on a tear.
And though we'd like
flying.
To tear it up.
Yep. Sherlock Holmes, and we got to kind of move along a little bit here. We got a rather lengthy episode of the Whistler. Sing a Song of Murder.
Yeah, not a top 40 hit, might be a hit in somebody's house. I don't know. Anyway,
could be a hit.
This was could be.
I'd buy it.
Or a poison.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Sing a Song of Murder, a pocket full of knives, 4 and 20 killers.
Pocket full of lies.
Lie.
This is episode number 173, and it comes to us from September 17th of 1940 and 5.
Signal gasoline. Signal. The new gasoline you can prove is superior.
Good for goats, too.
The Signal Oil Company and your neighborhood Signal dealer bring you another curious story by the Whistler. Tonight, sing a song of murder.
Whistler, And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Success is a curious thing. Sometimes it comes very slowly, the result of a lifetime of dull drudgery. And sometimes it comes quickly, almost overnight. It was that way with Bill Randall. The fact that he was the most popular singer in the country wasn't as amazing as how quickly it had happened. Less than a year, and he was on top. His voice was as much a part of the average teenager's life as her bobby socks. Everybody was very happy about it. Everybody, that is, except Bill Randall. Bill wasn't happy at all. And after his broadcast one night, as he was taking his manager home, he told him why.
Show went pretty well, Bill, but I thought you were going to run over a little. Now, you got to learn to judge times better. Why don't you get in the habit of timing everything you do? That way you
probably... Look, Gordon, I didn't offer to take you home to hear a lecture. I could be doing other things, you know.
Yeah, I know, Romeo. You and your swooning dames. But I didn't ask for the lift. Diana got to pick me up.
I want to talk to you.
So you want to talk to me? Hey, better slow down a little. They keep this highway pretty well patrolled. That's better. Keep it at 35 and they'll never bother you. That way we ought to get out to my place about 10 minutes to 10 anyway.
But you do drive the local bus?
No, I just timed it. At 35 miles per hour, it takes just 36 minutes over the highway. You see, that's what I mean about timing things. That's what you ought to do.
Gordon, what I want to talk to you about is...
You can switch on your country beam now.
Let me do the driving, will you? Frank, that contract of ours.
Yeah, what about it?
I'd like to buy it back.
Not a chance, Golden Voice.
Oh, I'm getting pretty sick of getting hooked. I'm willing to give you $10,000 for it.
Don't make me laugh. You're worth $500,000 to me.
Yeah, that's just it. I'd like to start making some money for myself for a change.
Now, why start that again?
Well, I think it's a dirty deal, and I don't mind telling you.
Dirty deal? That's gratitude for you. Listen, hotshot, who were you before I got hold of you anyway? Just another punk singing in a joint. I'm the guy that built you up. I put you where you are.
You? My voice put me where I am.
So you got a voice. Look, swooner boy, there are lots of guys floating around with voices just as good as yours. The biggest asset you've got is a smart manager. I'm the guy that's made the difference between you and all the other two-bit troubadours in this town. You see those girls swooning all over the studios tonight? I did that for you. Why shouldn't I get a cut?
A cut? You call 40% of my earnings just a cut?
No more than I should get, Randall. Anyway, why should you worry? You're making big money.
You're making it, you mean. Time I pay you off and my agent and taxes, I haven't got anything left. And what happens when they don't like me anymore? I got to think of the future.
Listen, pretty voice. I'll do the worrying if any needs to be done. You just keep on singing.
That contract's got 6 more years to run.
I know. I wrote it.
By that time, I won't even have a voice left. My doctor told me. He said I've got to take it easy. I've been overworking my throat.
Gargle.
And I won't have any money left either. I'm not the one who's getting rich on this setup, you know.
This isn't getting you anywhere, Randall. I'm not going to sell you your contract. I'm not going to tear it up, and I'm sure not going to give it to you. You signed it. I've got it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah? Well, we'll see about that.
Listen, Welcher. You start trying any smart stuff about backing out of that contract, and you're going to find yourself in trouble right up to that fat head of yours. You understand? Here's a turn.
I know.
Hey, stop in here at Gus's. I'll buy you some gas.
Oh, do you think you can afford it? I've got a full tank.
Now, don't start getting nasty.
Gordon, that contract.
I said forget it. Well, let's see. 4:40, we're right on time. There's the cutoff.
Will you quit that timing routine? What cutoff?
Oh, it's the old road from town. Cuts off a little distance, but nobody uses it anymore. Now they get the highway. Come on in.
No, thanks.
Come on in. Got some endorsements I want you to sign. Besides, you can have a drink to soothe those poor overworked tonsils of yours.
That isn't very funny.
Come on.
Oh, all right.
I guess Diana stayed home tonight.
Hello, Diana.
You have any luck finding a housekeeper today?
No. Guess I have to carry on a while longer.
Well, it's not going to hurt those delicate hands of yours. I got those endorsements in my desk, Randall. Come and take a look at them.
What are you going to do, make me sign them?
Hmm? What do you mean?
That gun in the drawer.
Oh. No, Glamour Boy. I don't think I have to use a gun to handle you. I just keep it because it's a good idea to have one. Living way out here, you know. Well, here they are. Look them over. I'll go fix some drinks.
Oh, I'll fix them, Dad. You stay here.
Nuh-uh. You mix drinks like a Sunday school teacher. I'll fix them. You stay and keep Golden Throat here company.
Well, Diana, you trying to avoid me?
Why, no, I...
How about proving it, then?
What do you mean? Bill, don't!
What's the matter with wanting a kid?
It's just that that's about all you ever seem to think about anymore.
Well, you know anything better to think about?
You think that just because you're where you are now, you can have anything you want.
Well, seems to work.
You didn't used to be that way, Bill.
I didn't know what the score was.
I remember how you used to be. We used to go for walks after the late floor show and buy popcorn and just talk. And you used to tell me the things you wanted to
do. Oh, kid stuff. I wasn't dry behind the ears.
And now you are?
Oh, let's not dig up that stuff, Diana. How about dinner tomorrow night?
I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, how about the night after?
I'm busy then, too.
Sure you are. You're probably busy the night after that, too. You're always busy now when I want a date. It didn't used to be that way before I signed the contract.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Before I signed that contract with your dad, you were very willing to go out with me.
Bill, that had nothing to do with
it. Oh, no, no, nothing at all. You just used to see me to hear me sing because you liked me. You just told your dad about me out of kindness. And you just talked me into signing with him because you thought he'd do something for me.
That happens to be the truth. I don't think Dad's been fair with you either, and I've told him so.
You expect me to believe that? I'm not that big a dope, even if I was silly enough to think you loved me.
I did, Bill, I did. You were sort of a nice guy in those days. But now, well, you've changed.
You're the one who's changed. I love you, Bill. But I'd love you a lot more if you signed your soul over to my father.
Bill, don't say things like...
Yeah, the truth hurts, doesn't it?
It isn't the truth, and you know it. You've no right to talk like that. You've got that idea in your head, and you won't listen to anything else. You've gotten so bullheaded, so conceited that you just
can't...
All
right, okay. It doesn't matter anymore, I guess. I'm hooked. But listen, Diana... Someday I'm going to get even, understand?
Get out of here!
Remember, someday I'm going to get even.
Well, Bill, that wasn't exactly a tender love scene between you and Diana, was it? Those things she said about you, how you changed, how conceited you were. They didn't set very well, did they? They made you pretty angry. You told her you were hooked. It looks as if you were right. The juicy offers flooding in don't make you feel any better about it either, do they? They just put more pressure on you, make you realize you've got to figure a way out of that contract. Then your throat starts bothering you again. So you go to see your doctor.
I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, Mr. Randall.
Yeah? What is it, Doc?
You've got to quit singing for a while.
Oh. Well, I'll take a week off.
It'll have to be a lot longer than that. You'll have to quit for at least a year.
A year? Oh, I can't do that.
You'd better. If you don't...
If I don't?
Your voice won't last another 6 months.
6 months. That's what the doctor said, Bill. 6 months. Then you'll be all washed up, no voice left. And the money you've got won't even pay your debts. You know, you've got to think of something. The pressure's building up, Bill. You've got to find a way to break that contract. The next day, you go to see your lawyer. You figure maybe he can help you. And he does, without knowing it. As you sit listening to him, an idea starts coming to you.
No, Bill, I've been over that contract a dozen times. There isn't a loophole in it. It's airtight.
Look, Steve, suppose I try to prove that I didn't realize what I was signing.
I'm afraid not. You did know what you were signing, and you could never prove you didn't. You just didn't realize it was going to mean so much money. No, you might as well give up and serve out that 6 years, because as long as he's alive and kicking, he's never going to let you out of it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, even if Gordon should die, his share would go to his daughter. He's seen to that.
Yeah.
So they're both holding the whip hand over you, Bill, both of them.
Yeah, I'd have to get rid of both of them.
Well, I'm glad you still have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I'll be running along. Thanks for everything.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you any. Let's get together soon for a little golf, huh?
Okay. So long.
So long, Bill.
Yeah, I've got to get rid of both of them.
It was just last Monday on the Whistler that Signal Oil Company first announced new post-war Signal gasoline. Yet in that short week, thousands of Western drivers have made a wonderful discovery, a discovery of thrilling new performance they never dreamed was built into their cars. For new Signal isn't just another gasoline, not just pre-war quality, not just an improvement on old-style gasoline, but an entirely new type super fuel that embodies in one giant stride the amazing advances of wartime chemistry. Yes, new Signal is the new gasoline you can actually prove is superior. Prove it in four ways. One, with quicker starting the moment you touch the button. Two, faster pickup. You actually feel it. Three, higher anti-knock. Just listen to that old motor purr, even on steepest hills. And four, you'll find you go farther than ever with new Signal. Because you'll be shifting less, enjoying more economical high gear miles. Really now, wouldn't you like to discover just how much fun driving can be? The way to do that, you know, is to drive into one of the friendly stations displaying Signal's familiar yellow and black circle sign and say, fill her up with new Signal gasoline. Now, back to the Whistler.
But first, before we get to the Whistler, well, you know what we're in for, don't you, folks? Another installment of Music Facts. Gave Facts.
Okay, here we go. Music Fact. A study in Italy has confirmed that licensing music is good for the cardiovascular system. Dave Fact, I understand that. Some songs make me want to run away. Music Fact. Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song. Dave Fact, no wonder I want to grab a turkey leg every time I hear that song. Music Fact. Monaco is the only country with a military orchestra that's larger than its army. Dave Fact. But if you get drafted into the Monaco Military Orchestra, just beware, the tuba doubles as a rocket launcher. Music Fact. The British Navy, learning of Somalian pirates' dislike for Western music, played music by Britney Spears to ward them away from Africa's coast. Dave Fact.
Oh, my God.
I side with the Somalian pirates on this one. That's it for the set of Music Fact. Dave Fact with one more set to go.
I just came from a rummage sale, Madge.
Yeah, I was wondering where you got these hands.
Oh, it's dishwashing. What'll I try?
Everything. And use palm olive dishwashing liquid. It softens your hands while you do the dishes. You're soaking in it.
In dishwashing liquid?
Well, it's palm olive.
Mild?
Well, more than mild. Makes loads of suds at last. And no kidding, palm olive softens hands while you do the dishes.
Okay, thank you, Madge.
Yes. You're soaking in it, yes.
Who would we be without Madge and Mrs. Olson?
Mrs. Olson, yeah.
Madge
it's Mountain
Olson.
Mountain Grown.
Oh, don't forget Rosie with the bounty towels. That's the one who was pushing the bounty towels?
Yeah, well, the good old quicker picker upper. Yeah.
The triumphant.
Yeah, just look, you can wet the towel and hold up these three cups of coffee. Really? Is that why you get paper towels to hold up three cups of coffee?
Coffee?
I don't know, but I know it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature.
You're just trying to butter her up.
Yes. Margarine. Dream. Oleo, as they used to say.
You know, when margarine first came out, the butter industry was so worried it would wipe them out. They got the legislators to rule that margarine had to be colored pink. And then people didn't want pink things on their bread.
When
it first came out, margarine had to be pink.
Oh, good heavens. That's
well,
gross.
Since butter was being so heavily rationed, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
don't
again.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Well, and that's like Velveeta. Velveeta came out because it wasn't a rationed item. It was just a loaf of milk, you know?
A loaf of milk.
Yeah, just like a loaf of milk. Just like Spam, a loaf of something. I don't know what it is, but it's a loaf
meat.
Of something.
Mystery meat.
It comes.
Mystery meat.
I like Spam.
I do not.
That unique noise
fried,
of coming out of the can.
I'll have your Spam. Don't mind. I'll have your Spam.
I don't trust anything that has that gelatin when you open the can, that clear gelatin of indeterminate
origin. Oh, no. For Haute Cuisine, we call it aspic for Haute Cuisine aficionados.
Ah.
It sounds like that's where it came from. Never mind. Just sound that out. And work it out yourself.
You know that.
Ew.
Dr. Frankenstein's lab. Ew.
Yes. I was hoping to start a bigger controversy than I did on Facebook. Because I like to say that the Frankenstein monster was not Frankenstein, nor was he the monster. The doctor, who was not the monster, is Frankenstein and was really the monster.
You think you'd start a controversy with that?
Well, yeah.
Some people
go off on it. A lot of people insisted that, well, he's the son of Frankenstein, so technically he's Frankenstein, and really his name was Adam Frankenstein. And okay, good arguments.
Frankenstein,
and they all have to count out. Take a knee, kowtow to the real creator, Mary Wollstonecraft
Shelley.
Yes.
I liked how that was another reason that Bride of Frankenstein is one of my favorite films is having Elsa Lancaster play Mary Shelley at the beginning of Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Yep, remember that?
Lord Byron and
her husband?
Percy Bysshe Shelley and the other fella,
Lord Byron was there,
her husband. And there was another guy there. She was the only woman, as far as I can remember, Dr. John Polidori. He wrote the first vampire story in the English language, unless I'm mistaken, Dr. John Polidori.
Could be. They worked his name into the movie, I think it was made for TV, if not, it should have been. Frankenstein True Story that came out in the 70s. Do you remember that one, Dave?
Yes.
Is that the one with Rock Hudson?
No. Michael, what's his name?
The true story. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
It was made for TV.
It was made for TV.
But Dr. Polidori played a big part in that. I think he was an associate of Frankenstein's in that adaptation.
Quite possibly. But yeah, they all had that contest, which he won hands down, to write a horror story or ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She
left the guy swinging in the breeze.
Yikes! With that in mind, time's a wasting. Let's wrap up our final story of musical mayhem and murder and mystery. Sing a song of murder
mayhem.
From the Whistler. The Whistler.
Whistler.
It's whistling.
Goats can't whistle.
Tales of the ghost. The goat.
Bill Randall. If you want to break that contract with Frank Gordon, you've got to get rid of both him and his daughter, Diana. That's the only way out, isn't it? You've made up your mind to that. But you know you need a plan, Bill, and you need an alibi. Not too much of an alibi, just enough. After your show that night, waiting for your appointment with Gordon, you're thinking about it. The plan is starting to come to you.
You're late. Look, I'm not in the mood for any cracks.
It wasn't a crack. What's eating you?
Diana.
What's the matter with Diana?
That little dope, I ought to knock some sense into her.
Why, what'd she do?
Oh, I cut down her allowance for running the house and didn't tell her so one of her checks bounced. She got all upset about it and we had a big scene.
So you had a big scene?
Yeah, but it was in front of a lot of people we had at the house. I lost my temper and slapped her. She told me she hated me and went to her room.
In front of all those people? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, what'd you want to see me about?
You know what I want to see you about. Those endorsements. You stormed out of the house without signing them.
Yeah, so I did.
Now I've got to come traipsing around to give them to you. Looks like I have to plan everything for everybody. Well, here they are, little boy. Maybe you can quit pouting long enough to put the famous name on the dotted line. Hurry it up, too. It costs me good money here. Now, get off the dime.
I'm going to sign them, Gordon.
It's about time, prima donna. Here.
Well, you almost lost your temper again, didn't you, Bill? You almost said something else. You've got to watch that. But the plan's beginning to take shape in your mind. That scene between Gordon and Diana in front of all those people. You can use that, can't you, Bill? That'll fit in very well. And what was that Gordon said about having to plan everything? Why not let him plan this too, Bill? You start remembering things he's told you, things you can use. It takes 36 minutes to Gordon's house over the highway, remember that? And there's a cutoff. And that gun in his drawer. You can use those things, Bill, all of them. Maybe it'd be a good idea for you to find the shortcut. So one day you drive out that way and locate it. It's a nice deserted road and you time the trip. You can go as fast as you want on the shortcut. Fast enough to make it in 18 minutes. 18 from 36 leaves 18, doesn't it, Bill? 18 minutes to kill Gordon and get up to the gas station on the corner so it'll look as if you came over the highway all the way. That's all the alibi you want, isn't it, Bill? Just enough. Now all you need is the right night.
Hello?
Hello, Diana.
Oh. You want to speak to Dad?
No, you.
Look, Bill, I thought we'd settled all that. I don't see why you keep calling up every night for a date. I've told you there's no...
But, Diana, I want to see you, to tell you that
I... You told me enough the other night. I don't think there's anything more to say, and I wish you'd stop calling.
Suppose you're busy tonight.
Yes, I am.
Anybody I know?
That's another thing I wish you'd stop asking. It doesn't happen to be any of your business.
No, I just want to know who the lucky guy is.
It isn't a guy. I happen to be going over to Dorothy King's house for the evening. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, sure. Have a good time.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, say, Diana.
Yes?
As long as you won't go out with me, I might as well take care of some business tonight. Would you tell your dad I'll be out around 10 to talk over some things?
I'll tell him.
Thanks, Diana. Bye.
Goodbye.
Dorothy King's, huh? That's 3 miles the other side of Gordon's. Just right. Okay, tonight's the night. That's about all for this broadcast, folks. This is Bill Randall thanking you for listening and asking you to be around same time tomorrow night. Is it a date?
Yes, be with us tomorrow night, same time, same station, for another edition of Songs by Bill Randall. And don't forget, this is National Safety Week. Drive safely and save a life. It may be yours.
This is Bill Randall saying good night.
You duck the autograph, kids, and you're out of the studio now, hurrying toward your car. You knocked him dead again tonight, didn't you, Bill? But you're not thinking about that now. All you're thinking about is your car waiting for you, and your time schedule for the next 45 minutes. It's all timed, Bill. Timed to the minute. And here's your car.
Hi.
Are you Bill Randall?
Yes, officer.
This your car?
Yes, it is. Well, what's the trouble?
I'd like to check your brakes. This is National Safety Week, you know. We're checking cars.
Oh, well, officer, would you mind if I got it down the road away? I've got an appointment in that direction, and I don't want to be late.
I guess okay. Only don't forget to do it. You'll probably be stopped anyway.
Thanks, officer. I'll take care of it.
That gave you a start, didn't it, Bill, seeing that cop standing beside your car? For a single panicky moment, you thought he might know what you're going to do. But he couldn't know that, Bill. He just wanted to tell you it's National Safety Week. That's a laugh, isn't it? It's not exactly going to be National Safety Week for Gordon, is it? But you're late now. He cost you two valuable minutes, and you can't afford that. If you're going to stay on schedule, you've got to hurry, Bill. You've got to hurry. You're on the back road now, speeding up. The minutes are sliding by. 10, 11, faster down the back road. 13, 14, your foot's pushing the pedal to the floor. 16, 17, the car's wide open. You're going to make it, Bill. 18, 19, and you're there, around the bend from Gordon. You're almost on schedule now, Bill, but you've still got to hurry.
Say, what's the... Bill, what's the matter?
Quick, Frank, your gun.
Well, what's the trouble?
Someone's following me.
Following you?
Yeah, quick, give me your gun.
Oh, okay, it's right in here. I'll get it. Here it is. Now, where is he?
Thank you, Frank.
Well, there it is. Don't just stand there, stupid. I thought someone was after you.
No, Gordon. Someone's after you.
Hey, what is this? Put down that gun.
Not just yet, Gordon.
Have you gone crazy? Give me that
Don't
gun.
Don't move. No, Gordon, I haven't gone crazy. I was crazy to sign that contract, but I'm not anymore.
Randall, you're blowing your top.
I'm going to break that contract, Gordon. I'm going to use your gun to do it.
Don't be a fool. You can't get away with it. They'll find you.
I don't think so, Gordon. They'll be too busy pinning it on someone else.
Well, Randall, say, maybe we better talk a little.
Shut up. You've talked enough. I'll get on that phone and call Diana.
Diana? I don't know where she is.
Oh, quit stalling. You know she's at Dorothy King's. I'll pick up that phone and dial Crescent 2417. Tell her to come home immediately. It's an emergency. And nothing more. Do you understand?
Okay. Hello? I'd like to talk to Diana, please. This is her father. Now, for the last time, Bill, will
you... Shut up!
Hello, Diana? Listen, baby, come home right away. It's an emergency.
She ought to make it in about 5 minutes, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that gives you about 30 seconds more to live.
Now, Randall,
you
listen.
Know, Gordon, you used to tell me I couldn't judge time, didn't you? Well, I've gotten better. This is timed to the minute.
But, Bill, for pity's sake...
You might be interested in knowing just how well it is timed. Diana's going to get here in a few minutes. And a little after that, the cops are going to walk in and find her standing over your dead body. I think they'll jump at the obvious conclusion.
Diana, why? You're not going to drag
her into
this.
Quite the fond parent all of a sudden, aren't you? Yes, I'm going to drag her into it. And when the cops hear about that scene between the two of you the other day, and when I show them something I've got in my pocket, I don't think they'll have much trouble establishing a motive for her. Pretty neat, don't you think?
No, Bill, no. Now, listen, please. Let's talk this over, huh? You
Yes,
won't...
Gordon.
Don't, no.
Yes.
No.
You've done it, Bill. There he is, and you're not even nervous. Your plan has worked beautifully so far. It's 20 to 10, Bill. That gives you 5 minutes to make a phone call and get up to the service station on the corner.
Hello, police. This is Frank Gordon at 21 Denning Lane. Come over right away.
You're through now, Bill, except for the fingerprints. Don't forget to wipe them off the gun and phone and door. Now you're ready. Out the door, back to the car, get it started. Down the back road, turn to the right. Down the side road toward the highway, around the block, and into the service station on the corner. You made it, Bill.
Yes, sir?
Five of the regular.
You betcha. Joe, 5 regular. A little cooler tonight, huh?
What? Oh, yeah, it is.
Hey, mister, did you know your taillight's out?
No, I didn't. I'll have it fixed.
Yeah, but let me do it now. Only takes a minute to put in a new bulb.
Well, I don't know whether I've got time. Got an appointment.
Oh.
What time is it?
Let's see.
Yeah, about 10 minutes of ten.
Ten of ten. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, okay, put it in.
Hey, just take a minute. I got the bulbs right here. Just laid in a new supply. It's National Safety Week, you know. Cops checking for things like this, taillights, brakes, and driver's licenses.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Good thing, too. Helps cut down the number of accidents. Can't be too careful, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Can't be too careful.
Yeah, well, there it is. Well, very simple. Well, water okay?
Yeah. How much do I owe you?
90 cents.
Here's a buck. Keep the dime.
Thanks. Hope you're not late for your appointment.
I don't think I'll be.
Come in. You're Mr. Randall?
Yeah, officer. What's happened?
I was told you were expected.
What's the matter? Diana.
Oh, Bill, dead.
What?
Mr. Gordon is dead.
Dead? Oh, how? What happened?
He was murdered.
Murdered?
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, Diana. Of course you didn't.
Mr. Randall, we'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Why, sure.
You had a 10 o'clock appointment with Mr. Gordon?
Yes.
Did you see him earlier?
Why, no.
Did you talk to him over the phone?
Not today.
What was your appointment about?
Why, it was just some business.
What kind of business?
Well, I'd rather not say. It might look
like... Let's have it, Randall.
Well, all right. It was about this agreement I have here. Gordon was going to sell me his interest in my contract. This was the agreement. I was going to give him $10,000. Here's the check.
What?
Well, he said he told you, Diana. I asked him especially because you stood to inherit your father's interest in my contract if anything happened to him. That's why I didn't want to mention this business. You know, it might look like she...
I see. You've been a big help to us, Mr. Randall.
Oh, but I'm sure you can account for Diana's whereabouts throughout the evening, officer.
Yes, we can. We know where she was a little after the time Gordon was murdered. She was right in this room. And with what you've told us, I'd say the case was just about wound up.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Meantime, here's a special message for you folks from Missouri, the show-me state, or any of the rest of you who like proof. For I want to show you just why it is that New Signal is so superior to old-style gasolines. Why New Signal is actually an entirely new type, super fuel. You see, gasoline is composed of countless different hydrocarbon molecules. In pre-war gasolines, the molecules were left just as nature made them. But under the impetus of war, chemists found how to take the molecules themselves apart, actually how to rearrange the atoms within the molecules. The result is the thrilling, amazing power of Signal's new gasoline, bringing you performance so immediately apparent you can feel it, see it, hear it. Yet in New Signal, you enjoy this premium performance at no extra cost. Now, if you have that Missouri trait, I can hear you say, "You gotta show me." And that's just what we want to do. Next time, fill up with New Signal. Let a tank full of this new super fuel show you in your own car that New Signal is the new gasoline you can prove is superior. And now, back to the Whistler.
Yes, Bill, the case is just about wound up. That's what the officer said, and now you're trying not to smile. It looks as if your plan worked perfectly, doesn't it? But the officer's still talking, Bill.
Yes.
Maybe you better pay attention to what he's saying.
We know where Miss Gordon was, because she picked me up on her way over here and brought me with her. There are lots of us on the highway tonight. It's National Safety Week, you know. You see, that telephone call she got from her father sort of aroused her suspicions. She hadn't told him where she was going tonight. As a matter of fact, you were the only one who knew.
Me?
Anyway, when we got here together and discovered the body, and I checked up with the people Miss Gordon had been with, I knew she couldn't very well have done it.
But I don't...
Randall, can you account for your whereabouts?
Why, yes. Yes, I can.
I left the studio right after my show at 9:15, drove out here on the highway, stopped for gas at the corner. I think I got there about 10 of 10.
I see. Anything unusual happen on the highway?
Why, no. I just drove along at my usual speed.
That's very interesting, Randall. Very interesting. I told you it was National Safety Week. So happens we've been stopping everyone on the highway since 8 tonight, checking driver's licenses. I'm sure we'd have stopped you if you'd been on the highway. I think you'd better come with us.
Next Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories, and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program, directed by George W. Allen, with tonight's story by Robert Reif, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Marvin Miller speaking, and suggesting that you try New Signal, the new gasoline you can prove is superior. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that wraps up the Whistler.
Good old Whistler.
Whistler.
Wait a second. The goat wants to try and whistle again. No, goats can't whistle.
Oh, there it
goes. Goats can't whistle. No, goats can't whistle.
Well, no one told the goat.
But they can scream pretty good. And that leaves just one more set, Dale.
One more segment?
Yep.
One more?
You'd think somebody'd be prepared around here.
Music fact. In 2011, the Stradivarius violin was sold for a record-breaking $15.9 million. Dave fact. And to think I only got $11.95 for my Hula Girl ukulele. Music fact. Studies have it that heartbeats change their pace and tends to mimic the music you listen to. Dave fact. Big deal. My windshield wipers on my car do the same thing. Music fact. Japan's national anthem is regarded as the shortest in the world. The music is composed of four lines. Dave fact. But the shortest national anthem really belongs to the French. It consists of only two words. I surrender. And music fact. In 2016, it was thought that Mozart was a bigger seller of CDs than Beyonce. Dave fact. This may be true that Mozart could, but he could never shake his booty like Beyonce. Do you realize that I watched three Beyonce concerts before I realized that she could sing? For music facts, Dave facts.
You do not know your history. Do not pick on the French. I still have my rifle from 1910. It's only been dropped twice.
Oui, oui. Be careful. We will throw fun in there and breathe at you with a very nice one.
And your father smelled of elderberries.
Oh, insults, eh?
Do not make us escargot you.
Yes. That was from Monty Python. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Oh, is that when they were shouting down from the...
Yes, the taunting from the castle.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm looking for the...
pass wind in your general direction. I scoff at you, you silly persons. Kid niggets.
Oh, what a classic film. Classic film.
Oh, I love Monty Python. They were so good. Well, gang, we'll see you next week where we got some radio and stuff. It's all about sunken treasure. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Oh, wow, that was way off. Ow. Cut my finger in the door.
Uh-oh. I did that and lost a fingernail.
Yep.
Ooh, worse than a paper cut.
Yes.
I don't know about that. Paper cuts hurt a lot. Yeah. I don't know. They hurt. They hurt. For weeks. For weeks they hurt.
For weeks, weeks. What a terrifyingly tuneful tale for tonight was told.
Yes. Goat
absolutely, agrees. Goat, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's such a pleasant song to me. Goat.
The goat.
Will Gar be twitching tonight, or is he still down with technical difficulties?
It does look like he will be twitching tonight. So that's what I went to look it up. But I actually, believe me, I'm as surprised as anybody because he didn't start this project till Thursday.
Yeah, he wasn't even here yesterday. He was working on his equipment.
Yeah, I saw that on the message board, and I was thinking, oh no, is that company still giving him grief? After all,
it was his computer this time, I think.
He's building. He had a new computer sent to him about 5 months ago. He's finally getting around to activating it, and adding all those programs, but he did it 2 days before he went on the air. So, slowed him down just a wee bit. Just a wee bit.
Yep.
What? Yikes.
Grape stripes. Do you know they still make fruit stripe gum?
Do they really?
And they still make Beemans.
Yes, that I did know, but I didn't know they still made this fruit stripe.
Yeah. I saw some not long ago. I was tempted to buy
everything
it.
Old is new again. Everything old is new again.
Yep.
Because they're running out of ideas, and it's cheaper to get something that's retro versus hiring someone to think of something new.
Well, if it still sells. I mean, it's not like a common thing you see at every... At every turn, but
every aisle. I know that there's one Giant Eagle in the Falls where they have a whole section of retro candies, and they also have a bunch of retro candies at what's that restaurant? Cracker Barrel.
They also have some retro candies in Parma. What's the name of that place?
Did somebody say Parma?
It's near the chocolate place. What the heck is it called? But they have like wax lips and those nickel nips. Remember nickel nips? The little bottles that look like little bottles of pop, and they had a little bit of colored juice.
Is that what they were
colored,
called? Okay.
Colored water, probably, with sugar. sugar water in it.
I said you get the sugar and red dye number two.
Yeah.
What a winner.
My God. I'm going to have to crack open my emergency bottle of vitamins. Help. Just a second.
And some wax to grease your innards. Boy.
Quickly, someone hand me an organic carrot. Help.
Just don't eat the wax. That's all I can tell you guys. Don't eat the wax.
And how many children devoured that wax?
I thought you were supposed to chew the wax like gum. I thought you were supposed to do that back when we were younger.
A lot of us did. Ugh.
You mean we weren't supposed to?
Did you like it?
I didn't say I liked it. I thought we were supposed to. I mean, I was just doing what we were supposed to do. That's all.
Damn the wax.
Does someone have an advertisement for Bromo Seltzer or something? Because this is giving me one of those moments.
they had the wax mustache, too, and, like, there was this a little plastic part you stuck it in your teeth. And we would always everybody would always chomp that off.
Oh, my gosh. What's next? Do they have radium candies?
Oh, those were good.
Yeah.
No, I left you with
a real afterglow afterwards, yeah.
They didn't have it, but if they did, we would have tried it. For sure.
That's right. It would have only been about 8 cents back then anyway.
Especially if our parents told us not to.
Stay away from that stuff. Stay away. Why are you glowing? Turn out the light. Oh, gosh, that's you.
Yeah. I thought I told you to put that light out. That's my stomach.
Who needs a light nightlight when you have radium candy?
Radium candy. Mmm. You can read your comic books at night. Yay.
Having a power outage? No worry. Just send Junior into the middle of the room. Thanks, Junior.
My hair's falling out. Shut up, kid. Shut up and keep glowing.
Glowing. Daddy has to read the newspaper.
It'll probably grow back. It'll probably grow back.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope Guard gets his computer all sorted out. You said he is going to Twitch tonight, so.
Cool.
But with that, gentlemen, I must be away. And if I can fulfill my obligation, I will call to the stage.
Yes.
Someone, hello. Oh, sorry. I thought we lost you there.
No, we're here.
Hey, without further ado, Mr. Jimmy Durante, on stage, if you please.
Good night.
Somewhere blue, there is a gun on the stage. Quickly, catch it. We need to make more scenes.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for Toodaloo.
I surrender.
Vive la France! Vive la Monte Carlo!
Bonjour!
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
You didn't say good night to the goat.
Yeah.
Hi, goat.
Don't forget the goat, Jimmy.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.